I want us to turn to those verses that we read together this morning. In the opening chapters of the book of Acts, we see the good news of the Lord Jesus crossing all sorts of boundaries. The gospel begins with the Jewish community. Then it spreads to the Samaritan community and eventually to the Gentile community, the non-Jewish community. And in our Bible reading this morning, the good news of the gospel reached Europe. That's our part of the world. But not only did the gospel cross national boundaries, it transformed the lives of people from all sorts of backgrounds and all sorts of lifestyles. And this morning, as we explore Acts chapter 16, I want to see a sample of the different types of people who heard the good news of Jesus and responded to it. And as we do so, it's my prayer that if you cannot confidently say you are a Christian, you will be able to see the good news of Jesus is for people just like you. And if you are a Christian, you will be encouraged to take the opportunities that come your way to share the good news of Jesus with others, because it is good news for people just like them. In our Bible reading, we find Paul, a first century Christian leader, together with men named Silas, Timothy and Luke, sharing the good news of Jesus in Philippi. But the first few people who responded to their message were as different as chalk and cheese. The first was an independent businesswoman named Lydia. Lydia was an amazing woman for the first century. She was an ambitious and an adventurous businesswoman who, even in the Roman world, was prepared to travel from one part of the world to another. For her, it was not a case of a quick drive along the motorway to Heathrow and then flying off to some other destination. It possibly involved sailing on a Roman galley, loading up donkeys and travelling in that way. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 14, Lydia arrives in Philippi. Interestingly, we discover that she was a worshipper of God. That is the God of the Bible. Interestingly, although she had travelled widely and would undoubtedly have come across all sorts of religions and all sorts of gods in the Roman world, Lydia was convinced that the God of the Bible, and she just had the Old Testament at that time, was the true and living God. And she worshipped him. Then, having arrived in Philippi, Lydia looked up others who shared her faith. Another very interesting piece of information is found in verse 13 of our reading. Those who shared her faith met by the river. It was the practice of those who believed in God, if there was no synagogue building in which to meet, to gather by a river and pray. Jewish believers had done that for many years, from the beginning of their 70 years in exile. And that's why Psalm 137 says, by the rivers of Babylon, they sat down, yea, we wept, when we remembered Zion. You may remember that from a pop song in your youth. When Paul and his team arrived in Philippi, they too headed for the river. And there they met Lydia and a number of other believers. And they shared the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. They shared the good news of that time of the year that we call Christmas, the time when God sent his Son into the world to be the Saviour of sinners. Undoubtedly, he shared the good news of that time of the year that we call Easter, when the Lord Jesus Christ died for his people. And undoubtedly, they shared the good news of salvation, that the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was part of God's amazing plan to save his people from their sin and its consequences. Sin separates from God. But the Lord Jesus Christ freely and willingly accepted the punishment his people deserved for their sin and died in their place on the cross. And by this amazing act of grace, he has opened the way for all who accept the good news, for all who believe it, for all who repent of their sin, to be forgiven, to be reconciled to God forever, to be given eternal life, and in addition, to be received as brothers and sisters by other Christians. They shared all this good news and how the Lord Jesus has ascended into heaven to represent his people there. And as they shared this great news, verse 14 tells us that God was at work. And we hear that lovely verse in verse 14, that the Lord opened Lydia's heart to respond to Paul's message. Lydia was a person who believed in the God of the Bible. Lydia worshipped him. But now she saw that Jesus was the one who God in the Old Testament had promised to send. He was the Messiah, the Son of God, the Saviour, the Lord. One day, I was looking through an old envelope, and in it was a piece of a jigsaw. And I thought, my, someone somewhere is looking for that last piece of the jigsaw to put into place. And it was like that with Lydia. This was the last piece in the jigsaw of her understanding about God, how the Lord Jesus Christ had come to save her from her sin and be her Saviour and give her the gift of eternal life. And so Lydia repented of her sin. She trusted God to keep his promise to forgive her and to receive her as one of her, of his people forever. And so firstly, God's love reached out to an independent businesswoman. Despite her great success, she came to see that she needed Jesus. And today that's happening in our world. Successful people are discovering that they need Jesus. It's hugely encouraging to read some testimonies about such people. Leading academics. People from all sorts of business walks of life. And others. perhaps this morning, you too are a successful business person or a successful person in some other area of life. But don't think you've got it made. We all need Jesus. Like Lydia, you too need Jesus if you are to have peace with God and the gift of eternal life. Then notice too how Lydia came to trust Jesus. It was with a group of believers. She heard the good news. The Lord opened her heart. She believed. She responded. She repented. She was baptized. She trusted. She followed. It was all very low key. There was no evidence of anything very dramatic happening. There was simply very real faith in Lydia's heart. And quite often that's how people come to faith in Christ. As Paul wrote on another occasion, faith comes from hearing the message. And this morning, if you've heard that message for the first time, then respond to that. Now, some do have dramatic or even traumatic experiences that lead them to faith in the Lord Jesus. But for many like Lydia, the Lord simply opened their mind so that they understood the message and opened her heart so that she believed and responded to the message. Have you done that? Let this story also encourage us who believe to share the good news of Jesus wherever and whenever we have the opportunity, and to invite others to come amongst God's people and to hear God's word. The second person we read about was a slave girl. How different to Lydia. Many in Philippi thought that this slave girl was under the influence of the Greek god Apollo, and that she could tell their fortunes. And her owners took full advantage and made a great deal of money by exploiting this woman. However, when Paul and his team came onto the scene, she concentrated her attention on them. And in verse 17 we read, this girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Now you might have thought, wow, free advertising. People will listen. But Paul was not at all happy about the free advertising. Why not? Because it was not honouring to the Lord to have people bound by evil spirits testifying to the Lord as the great deliverer. Nor were her words quite as our Bible translates them. Literally, she said that Jesus was a way to be saved. And for Paul and his team, Jesus was not just a way to be saved. He was the only way to be saved. But most of all, Paul and his team were concerned about this girl as a person. And just as Lydia needed Jesus, this girl needed Jesus to release her. We're not told the rest of this girl's story. Probably because she was a slave girl and she was whisked away. But I incline towards the view that she went on to become a child of God and a devoted follower of Jesus. But I don't know. But I do know from other passages of Scripture that God's love reaches out to people like her. And so we see Mary Magdalene, who was in a very similar situation, coming to faith, becoming a child of God, and a devoted follower of him. Today we may identify with that girl more than with Lydia. You may feel that in your life you are exploited, that you are put upon, that you are underprivileged, that you are a nobody. And you may feel totally unworthy of God's love in Jesus. But here we see, God's love in Jesus embraces people just like you. Those arms are wide open to welcome you. Will you come? We also see from the story of this slave girl that one person's road to Jesus may be very different to another's. When we were introduced to Lydia, she worshipped the true and living God. This slave girl worshipped an idol. Lydia needed to have the last piece of the jigsaw of her faith put in place. This slave girl needed to be relieved, rescued from this evil spirit. But God's love in Jesus reached them both. And it's here for us. And let this story remind us who believe that God's grace can overcome every obstacle that stands in the way of a person receiving the good news of Jesus, whether it's spiritual, whether it's philosophical, whether it's mental, whether it's physical. Our Lord is still the great deliverer. And so let us reach out to all sorts with his gospel. And then there is a third person singled out here. A Roman jailer. When the owners of the slave girl realized that they would not be making any more money out of their slave's fortune telling, they vented their anger on Paul and Silas. Money talks, doesn't it? Wow! My wealth-making ability is gone! And there was fury. And so they dragged them off to the local magistrate, who ordered that they be beaten and put in prison. The jailer was probably a retired Roman soldier. What were Roman soldiers like? They were tough. They were disciplined. And from what I know of soldiers, possibly cynical as well. Having been told to guard Paul and Silas carefully, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. So what do Paul and Silas do? They have a little conversation and they say, it's tough being a Christian, isn't it? Shall we put up with this any longer? Not what they did at all. Couldn't find a hymn book, but they could still sing. And there, at midnight, they sang praises to God in their prison cell. Yes, despite their bruising, despite their bleeding backs, despite the discomfort of the stocks, they still wanted to praise God and to pray. And as they sang and as they prayed, the unthinkable happened. For at midnight there was a violent earthquake. And we read, suddenly, there was a violent earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. The jailer woke up. Who wouldn't if there was an earthquake that shook the prison where you were sleeping? The jailer woke up and, seeing all the doors opened, feared that all the prisoners had escaped. And knowing that Rome did not take kindly to jailers who allowed their prisoners to escape, and predicting his fate, decided to take the only honourable way out, and as a Roman soldier to fall on his sword. But Paul called out in a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Can you imagine it? A prison, prisoners, doors open, and they're all still there. He can hardly believe it. He calls for a light. He runs in, and he falls down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into the house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. And God still reach toughies today. I've read of people who belong to Boko Haram in Nigeria coming to faith in Christ. I've met tough people who have come to faith in Christ. One night, Janet and I entertained in our house a man who had obviously committed murder at some stage and had come to faith in prison, now a pastor. It's quite something when you lay in bed and think, that man in the room next door has taken somebody's life. But God works in the lives of all sorts of people. Now, maybe you're like that man, tough, disciplined, maybe even a cynic. But here, someone just like that discovered he needed Jesus to deal with his sin, to bring him peace with God, to give him eternal life. What about you? And what a different way he came to faith in Jesus. Two singing disciples who praised God despite their obvious discomfort, and who showed the love and care of Christ to a disorientated and distraught man. Such a witness is just as powerful today. And let this story remind us who believe to be a good witness to the Lord Jesus wherever we are, even in difficult situations and circumstances. And also to seek to show his love to others, especially in their time of need. It may be that the Lord will use our witness, our Christian love, to draw someone else to him. Now, thinking back over that reading, can you think of three more different people? Lydia, the slave girl, and the jailer. The exciting thing is that the good news of Jesus is for all sorts, for people from all sorts of backgrounds, from all sorts of lifestyles. God is no respecter of persons. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And if you've not come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Saviour, may you do so today. Your journey to faith may be like one of those three, or it may be quite different. But whatever way you come, the promise remains. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And what better way to show that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and are following him by being baptized as Jesus commanded, to go down into the water, to show that you've been washed from your sin, to show that you've been saved from God's judgment, as Peter draws a parallel with the story of Noah and the ark, to show that we deserved God's judgment, but we have been rescued from it. By identifying ourselves with Jesus in his burial and in his resurrection, showing that we've come to the end of an old way of life and begun a new way of life following Christ, that we are one of the family of God forever. In this Bible account, all sorts receive Jesus. Will you seek him and find him today? God promises in Jeremiah 29, verse 23, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the scriptures. We ask, O Lord, that you will write your word in our hearts, that by your grace we may trust you and obey you. Amen.